Now, this year's Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to a jailed Belarusian activist and two human rights organizations, one Russian, one Ukrainian. Alice Bialyatsky, Russian Human Rights Group Memorial, and the Ukrainian organization, the Center for Civil Liberties, were hailed by the committee for their efforts.
They have for many years promoted the right to criticize power and protect the fundamental rights of citizens. They have made an outstanding effort to document war crimes, human rights abuses, and the abuse of power. Together, they demonstrate the significance of civil society for peace and democracy.
Jonah Hull has more now from Oslo.
Berit Reiss-Andersen, the chairperson of the five-person committee appointed by the Norwegian Parliament that makes this decision, stopped speaking a short while ago after taking some questions from the media. One individual and two organisations named as the Nobel Peace Laureates for 2022, Mrs. Reiss-Andersen, saying that in challenging times it was felt appropriate to address the fact that we are in the midst of a war, not just a war with huge ramifications for all the people of Europe, but also with a global context in terms of nuclear threats and food shortages. She called it a bleak backdrop indeed. There had, of course, been suggestions ahead of this that Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, might have been in the frame, or indeed the Ukrainian people. The committee instead has gone for these three individuals that Mrs. Reiss-Andersen said were chosen, these one individual and two groups, for the work of all the men and women involved in them in three neighbouring countries involved in this conflict to try and further the aims of human rights and of peace.
European Union leaders are meeting to tackle the continent's energy crisis and the war in Ukraine. Friday's talks in Prague are expected to focus on securing energy supplies as winter approaches. Bills have soared as EU countries slash supplies of Russian gas.
Energy prices are skyrocketing. But if you look over the last 7 months, you can see that Russia has deliberately and systematically cut the gas supply to the European Union. But we've been able to compensate. We've filled our storages by 90%. Now it is time to discuss how we can limit the peaks in the energy prices and the manipulation of energy prices by Putin.
Ukrainian authorities say at least 11 people have been killed in Russian strikes on residential buildings in the southern city of Zaporizhia. Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmitry Kuleba, has accused Russia of deliberately striking civilians to sow fear. An Iranian coroner says Mahsa Amini did not die from a beating while in police custody. Instead, the coroner's report states the 22-year-old suffered multiple organ failures due to underlying illnesses. Her father says she had bruises on her legs, and he holds the police responsible for her death. Amini was detained by Iran's so-called morality police in September for breaking strict dress code laws. Banks in Lebanon have once again closed their doors, this time indefinitely. It follows a series of hold-ups by customers trying to withdraw their own money. Banks will continue urgent operations for businesses, but customer-facing services will be suspended. Thailand's Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha has visited a childcare centre that was attacked on Thursday. The nation is mourning the death of at least 36 people, including at least 23 children. Flags across the country are flying at half staff. The motive is not known. People in the southern African country of Lesotho are voting in a general election after years of political instability. The outgoing deputy prime minister from the ruling party, the All Basotho Convention, is running against rivals from the centre-left Democratic Congress and the newly formed Revolution for Prosperity. All candidates are hoping to tackle high unemployment and crime.